Well, we are in the middle of a sermon series called Bless. B-L-E-S-S. Here I go with those acrostics again. At least this one is not a faulty spelling. So it's an evangelism initiative. And, you know, for those of us who love Christ, this sermon series gives us a wonderful opportunity to see how really unintimidating it can be to share with others God's love. Because I don't think there's, and I have to believe there's nobody here who loves Jesus who wouldn't want to be a good witness and to share about Christ. And it was for this purpose, too, that I put as our memory verse of the month, Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And so sometimes, though, our timidity takes over. Sometimes our anxiousness and our fears can get the best of us. But I hope that in this series, what you find is, if you follow this, bless, begin with prayer, B, begin with prayer. L, listen with care. It's not about us going with some script and all these memory verses and just nailing them with them. It's getting into conversation, listening. And then today we're going to be talking about eating together, so purposeful fellowship, just getting in a purposeful fellowship with them. And then S, serving somebody with love. And then the other S is sharing your story. It's this wonderful, simple way of being able to share the love of God with others. So the sermon text for today here is this wonderful story of Zacchaeus. And for many of us, it was that deer story, and how many of you remember the old song from children's church generations past? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. And then my memory gave out on me. I couldn't remember how the rest of it went. But what I want to share today, too, is, you know, that story, even though it almost comes across as cute when we tell it to the kids, this was a story that was filled with scandal and great risk. And it was quite audacious what Jesus did. So let me get into that, but first, please pray with me and for me. Heavenly Father, help me to preach your word well. So Holy Spirit, I pray just that you take over my mind, my thoughts, and my words. And Lord God, may they penetrate then into our hearts so that we can then fulfill this calling of ours, the Great Commission, to make disciples. Help us, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we get in the story, the first thing that struck me in your sermon notes is this bold invitation. This bold invitation of Jesus. As here he comes and he's walking. It must be almost like a parade because obviously there's so many people that little Zacchaeus couldn't get a good view of Jesus. So it's almost like this parade on both sides of the street. And so he climbs this sycamore tree, and as soon as Jesus gets right below it, he stops, looks up. And it's this bold invitation. Zacchaeus, come down immediately, for I must go to your house today. I'm just thinking, as your pastor, I'm not sure how many times I would just come up to you and, I'm going to invite myself to lunch today. I'm coming over to your house. How's that? This bold invitation, right? But I think sometimes a little bit of boldness is what we need when it comes to sharing about Jesus. I heard from a young person in our church the other day. I'm not going to say any names because I want to protect the humble. But about a dinner that three of them had at a local restaurant. And so before the dinner, you know, as they were getting the meal, as they would do, they would be praying for the meal. And so they just said to the waitress, or one of them said to the waitress, hey, we're going to be praying before we have our meal. Is there anything that we can pray for you? It's a little bold invitation, right? The boldness. Well, yeah. And I didn't hear the whole details of the story, but the story ends with, throughout the meal that night, the waitress even giving one of the young ladies, her telephone number, and an invitation was given to her to come to church. A little bit of boldness, and how that warmed the heart of this waitress. Sometimes it's simple things, but maybe it's as simple as the boldness to walk across the street to invite your neighbor to come have a meal at your house. A little bit of boldness sometimes is all it takes to open a great door for ministry. So, point three, risking a scandal. So in verse 7 in the text, it says, all the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. And this was a common thing. At least fairly frequently it happened throughout Scripture, especially the Pharisees. And you can see, I printed in your sermon notes too, says they asked his disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? I think what you need to understand too is the level of sin, the level of sin that Zacchaeus had, and so the level of hatred that the average person would have had for him. He was a Roman sympathizer, a Roman collaborator. As a tax collector, what he was doing was he was going and he was collecting taxes from the Jews for the Romans and then taxing a little extra, maybe more than a little extra, to line his own pockets. You want to know how bad the Jews would hate people like Zacchaeus? Well, think not too far in the past about the Nazi collaborators. When the Nazis came in to some of the countries, France, Denmark, Belgium, and they took over, and they were the occupying force, there were some in those countries who collaborated with them. Well, when the Nazis were expelled by the Allied forces, what happened to those collaborators? Tom, can you put some of the pictures on there? Well, for some of the women who just dated some of the Nazis that were there, in a very public way, they brought them into the public square and would shave their heads. And in a public humiliation, go ahead to the next one too, you can see this was very public. You can see the humiliation on this woman's face as she's kneeling down. Next slide. And there's some of them, and the man in the back's holding up a sign that reads at the bottom, collaborators. This is what they did to the women who were Nazi collaborators. Next slide. And for the men, if you were a Nazi collaborator, they rounded them up. Next slide. Next slide. And they shot them. If it had been possible for the Jews to expel the Romans from their land, what would the Jews have done to Zacchaeus? They would have killed him. They would have rounded him, the other tax collectors up, brought him into the public square, and I have no doubt in my mind they would have stoned them to death. And so imagine now in that context, this is the hatred they have towards Zacchaeus, and Jesus is going into his house. Jesus is sympathizing with the Roman sympathizer. What do you make of this, Jesus? Talk about risking a scandal. And this is the thing I love about Jesus. Have you ever done anything scandalous in your life? Good. As he shakes his head. Well, many of us have. Anybody ever felt like the outsider? Jesus takes scandalous risks for us. Have you heard that song on K-Love or Moody? The Reckless Love? Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away.
Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Have you heard that song? Have you really heard it? That's the kind of reckless love, even risking scandal, that God would come and love us. And then the next point is the wonder of being accepted by Jesus, because I think this was the thing that got to Zacchaeus. I can't imagine that what was going on that day was Jesus calling him down, publicly humiliating him, taking him into his home, pushing him up against a, what in the world are you doing? What was it that got, that just so won over Zacchaeus' heart about Jesus? His acceptance. Despite his sin, Jesus shows him acceptance and friendship. Because especially in the Jewish culture, when you sat down and ate with somebody, that was something very intimate. That was a strong gesture of friendship and of acceptance. And that's what Jesus does. You know, it's interesting too. In reading, you know, Zacchaeus' name means clean and pure. Clean and pure. And when Jesus came around and encountered Zacchaeus, I don't think he was very clean and pure. But I love that what Jesus does is he calls us and restores the true character that God designed in us. Zacchaeus was stamped with that name, that would be an indicator of his character. He had lost it. Anybody here ever felt like you've lost it? Well, Jesus is all about restoring character, dignity, even transforming the worst of sinners. And with reckless love, he'll chase them down, risking scandal, showing love and acceptance. What can we do? What's our context here? What does this mean for us today? Risking a scandal? Please, to the young ladies out there, what I'm not talking about is evangelism dating. Please.
Well, Pastor Steve told me that I ought to risk a scandal, so I decided I'd go out with the creepy skinhead neo-Nazi and I'm evangelizing him.
Please, no. Okay, exactly. Okay. But risking a scandal, maybe to go across the lunchroom and invite the person that's known as the loser or the outcast. Or what about us? Maybe it's the neighbor in on our street. I mentioned this a little while back, but let me quote you exactly from this newsletter from our friends, the Scotts, Brandon and Jenny. Check this out. I love this. Some friends down in Texas. What Jenny has made home a mission. From our front yard, we can see 17 houses. Only 3 of those houses have walking believers. The goal, and I'm not kidding, is that every person we can see from our yard comes to know and walk with Jesus. At least that's the start. Jenny put a turquoise table in our front yard, and we use that as a metaphor for getting out of our house and connecting with people. Jenny's already hosted a ladies' tea and meets regularly with our neighbors, which include a dear sweet Pakistani Muslim, a young Guatemalan, a single mom moving in with her boyfriend. Ooh, that's a little scandalous. An attorney, and talk about scandalous, and a burlesque dancer. You can't make this stuff up. People just come into our home. Listen, they come into our home and we get to love them, counsel them, listen to them, watch their kids, share truth and share life with them. Then we pray like crazy that Jesus saves them and look for every opportunity to speak the gospel in their lives. That's it. That's it. Risking scandal, but showing acceptance, showing love. Who's your neighbor? Who could you invite over? Who could you take a meal to if they're sick and you find out? Who could you just give some audacious demonstration of love so that you can communicate God's love and acceptance to them? Too many people in this world, and maybe some of us, we're kind of like that wounded dog. You ever encountered a wounded dog? And as you approach that wounded dog, you're approaching because you want to help. You want to heal. And what does that wounded dog do? Right? And too many people, that's how they feel about God. As God approaches them, their mind is messed up. They think that God is coming to condemn when he's coming to heal with that reckless, never-ending love of his. And oftentimes, it's us that God wants to channel this love and acceptance through. Love and acceptance. But we better know it first in our own hearts. You can't give what you don't got, right? Do you know that Jesus loves you and accepts you? Here, Bob George has this little test. And he gave this quiz to a whole group of seminarians. We'll see how you guys do with this quiz. All right. How many of you would say that God looks upon you with the same love and acceptability as Pastor Steve? How many of you say that God looks at you with the same amount of love and acceptability? Wow. Really? That few of you? You must have a pretty high idea of me. Anyway, how many of you, let's go. How many of you think that God looks upon you with the same level of love and acceptability as with Billy Graham, Ravi Zacharias, Chuck Colson? How many of you believe that God looks at you with the same level of love and acceptability as Jesus Christ himself? Show of hands. Well, good. In fact, I think you did better than those seminarians. Listen to Scripture. We have received God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness. God chose us, Ephesians 1:4 says, to be holy and blameless in his sight. You are holy and blameless in his sight. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27 says, have clothed yourselves with Christ. So he sees us and we're clothed with Christ's righteousness. He sees us as holy and blameless, dearly loved children. God loves you. Those are those who have accepted Jesus. Do not doubt God has accepted you. And let that sink in. Let that sink in. And then share that with others. Point five, the dramatic results. Well, for Zacchaeus, talk about repentance. Right here and now, I give half of my possessions away. And if I've cheated anybody, I'll give them four times whatever I took from them. Wow. Well, think about it. That's going deep with repentance. That's radical. And Jesus announces that salvation came to that house that day. Dramatic results. I love it how Jesus was explaining his scandalous, radical love to people. He says, well, for John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, he's got a demon. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, here's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Jesus says, but wisdom is proved right by her offspring. Wisdom is proved right by her offspring. What's the results? I'll tell you what. If I find out that any of you have been hanging around scandalous people as your pastor, and the result is that you're leading people to Christ, because, trust me, I'm going to just be giving you high fives and hugging you and celebrating with all the angels in heaven. Dramatic results, because so many of the people that are the sinners out there, the scandalous ones, if they could just hear and understand about God's love and acceptance. Again, quoting Bob George, He says the most powerful, life-changing power in existence is the message of God's love and acceptance in Jesus Christ. It's powerful. It's life-changing. And I'll tell you what, some of the worst of the sinners, oh, they fall so easily for that love of Jesus. They really do. And with a little bit of boldness, when we just reach out and extend love and acceptance, oh, trust me, it's not that intimidating when you see their eyes light up. And dramatic results can be what comes of it. So you'll see in the insert, the little blessed sheet that talks about eating together. And eating together, I mean, what's the big deal about eating together? Well, again, in Jesus' culture, that was very significant. It expressed intimate friendship. And I think that's still true today. The shame of things is we've gotten so far out of the habit, even families rarely eat together anymore because of busyness. And all the more then I've heard when somebody is invited for a home-cooked meal, it's radical. And it speaks a lot. So think of ways, and there's great ideas on the back of this sheet too, creative ways to eat together, have dinner together at your home or restaurant, share a pizza, enjoy a cup of coffee together, host a holiday party, organize a block party or backyard neighborhood barbecue, invite others to your family celebrations. And I love this. It says, here's one goal. Add one person to one meal per week. Can I challenge you with that? Add one person to one meal each week. But expand out too, please. Don't just cloister together as Christians and invite other Christians. May especially many of these people be the ones who don't believe in Jesus. Invite them. Worst case scenario, they're going to say, well, thank you very much, but no. Worst case scenario. I'll bet 99 times out of 100, they will be so, they will respond with gratitude and with a yes. And then I love just, anyway, this blessed brainstorm. Think about it. Think about it. Write down ways, ideas, how you could show God's love and acceptance through these bold invitations to love on people. Heavenly Father, help us. Lord, equip us for this ministry and just give us that boldness, the little bit of boldness necessary to give this loving invitation to people. But Lord God, please then, may you just dictate dramatic responses and results. And so, Lord God, help us to be disciple makers, fulfilling your great commission. And be glorified among us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.